Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're recording.
A recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
What up, what up?
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And today we have a very special guest.
A very interesting guest.
Yes. The infamous Jacquelina Bonds from Love is Blind Season 4. At one point in time, Jackie was the most hated person on television. We could all not stand her ass.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And since her season, we've found many more people to hate. So it's she's been long forgotten in terms of, you know, there's more people that have caught our, you know, our wrath.
Yeah.
But yeah, how is the villain doing 2 years later? What has she learned? Who has she become? We had a very interesting conversation with Miss Jackie. My biggest sentiment leaving the conversation is she is very much a work in progress still. And she's very aware of that. She owns that.
She is.
We were able to laugh about it, which I thought was fun. And she's funny because what you see is what you get, child.
It's the same thing. Okay.
What you see is what you get. Consistency. Yep. I'll give her points for that.
Definitely.
Very consistent. You're either going to love her, you're going to hate her. She is very real. She's very... very much like a round the way girl. We had fun kikiing with her. But yeah, what has she learned from the Love is Blind experience, her relationship with Marshall, her relationship with Josh. She had two public, very tumultuous breakups. She had a whole text message scandal. I don't know if y'all remember.
Leaked.
Yes. So her friend leaked the group chat. We saw Jackie going off on people in the comments. Like, she put it all out there for all of us to watch and critique and have opinions on. And she definitely was Jackie through and through and through. But she is a woman in therapy now. She's learning. She's on her, you know, on a path. And so, yeah, I'm excited for you guys to hear a conversation with her, hear some of her reflections on season 6 as well, and just see what she's been up to. Now, before we dive in with Miss Jackie, we do have some pop culture stuff to chat about. First and foremost, Cowboy Carter.
Cowboy Carter, yes.
And we're recording this a little bit early, so...
Right. So we're not fully absorbed.
Not fully absorbed yet.
Right.
But we'll give initial thoughts for sure. Selling Sunset, there's a lot going on.
It's gonna be a great
season. Between Christine and Chelsea, lots going on with them. Drama. So we'll chat about that. New news with Roni and the cast list. We'll chat about that. And then Miss Ariana from Vanderpump, she just still out here winning.
Got a new job.
Got another job. Another. Sheesh. Want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes? Join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose. You can also watch us on video. You can catch up on our reaction content, Millionaire Matchmaker, Insecure Season 3, Broad City. And you can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial.
Yep.
Shout out to the Rose Garden. We love you guys. We are so excited to welcome to the show probably one of the most infamous, I'll say, quote unquote, villains of Love is Blind. Unfortunately, she had far more critics and haters than lovers and supporters. And her relationship was just fascinating to watch. And it catalyzed a lot of dialogue around Black masculinity and manhood, emotionalism in men, toxic love. Should you give the ring back or not after an engagement?
Oh, my God.
Sometimes. Sometimes, though, we forget the person we all love to hate is, in fact, a real person. And it's been 2 years since filming. It's been almost a year since season four has aired. We wanted to catch up with this young lady, reflect on her Love is Blind journey, talk a bit about season six, and hear how she's grown since her season and what experience, what her experience taught her about modern dating, love, and relationships. So please welcome to the show, Jacquelina Bonds.
Hey, y'all. I'm in the building. Hey, y'all. My girls, my pretty girls. How are y'all today?
We are good. Welcome. Happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored. I'm so honored to be here with y'all. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we have some warm-up questions for you.
Let's dive into them.
So in the spirit of villainhood, who is your favorite Disney or TV villain?
Scar.
Oh, nice. Scar. That's a good one.
Scar. You always gonna remember Scar and Mufasa. I know Mufasa's like the hero, like that's the goat of all time, but you always gonna remember his downfall, or the person who caused his downfall was Scar. Yeah, so they just go hand in hand. It's memorable. It's memorable.
Yeah. That is. That's a good one. Favorite dating show or reality show of all time?
My favorite reality show of all time, I will have to say, is remember when New York had her dating show?
Oh yeah, I love New York.
The first season, not the other seasons, but the very first season. That was prime, right? It was prime New York. Yes. She was fresh off of Flavor a Lot choosing her, so she was mad throughout the whole season, not really giving this guy no time. Mama was acting up, so that was my favorite. Yes,
what's her mom's Sister Patterson or something?
Sister Patterson.
Yo, she was an alleged Patterson. Preacher.
Oh, please. Preacher of no words.
I don't remember any of the mom's quotes, but I remember New York's quotes from that first season. I want my eggs cracked. I want my name changed. We still talk about it. We still speak those same
And I will never forget how she walked off and she was like, "You smell that?" When the girl spit on her, she's like, "You smell that?" It's just a little thing that you just remember about her. Yes. I'm just like, you are iconic for those.
Iconic. Definition of iconic. Yes.
For sure. For sure.
Oh my gosh. What celebrity, last question, what celebrity are you low-key always checking in on? So you might not follow them, but you just check in and see what they're doing.
Yeah, Lola Woods. I know she might not be a celebrity, but I do. That's Odell Beckham, baby mama.
Oh, I was thinking of the other Lolo who ran track, who was the virgin.
Yeah, I was thinking Lolo too.
That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, no, not her. You ever hear that?
The opposite.
That's another Lolo.
Yeah, another Lolo. Yes.
No, I like the other Lolo.
Oh, she's pretty.
She was friends with Jackie O. And I just when all of that was going on, it kind of, I don't want to say like it hit home, but like kind of growing up on Wild and Out and still seeing the seasons and stuff, like you were kind of like, damn, let me make sure, you know, like what changes are there and stuff like that. So I always, not always, but every once in a while, I peep her page. I'd be going in there like, okay, what you doing, Miss Girl? Beautiful woman.
Gorgeous. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's get into it, Jackie. So you went from being a regular, degular dental assistant to one of the biggest villains on TV at the time. You had, as we said before, mostly critics and haters during your season. How would you say your foray into fame has treated you?
It has treated, so from jump, it was hard. Like the first four episodes, I was cool. Everyone was liking me in the first four episodes. Yeah, the other girls were getting some heat. So it was cool. I was like, okay. And then the next couple weeks, it was like Rocky Balboa was just pounding on me. And I was like, damn, I could not catch a break. I was, and I'm the type of person where if you disrespect me or say something slick, I'm going to say something right back. And I felt like I was in defense mode. I was literally like, felt like I was working for the Department of Defense. Cause I was like, what is going on? What is this? No, you're not going to sit here and say X, Y, and Z to me. Like, this is crazy. But like, it was so hard adjusting to all of that because it came like a landslide, like a whole wave. And it just hits different when you just know you're not that person. And now it's kind of starting to turn around. I still get like, you know, some heat now and then, but it's starting to turn more into like, okay, like we understand why she did it, or okay, like it's happened. Let's move on. He's moved on. She's moved on. Like it's not our life. You know, it didn't happen to us, you know, let's, you know, ease up off her. Now it's more of like the body shaming, but it's okay.
Oh, jeez. That's, you know, like that's small fry compared to what it was, I guess. But
exactly.
Still terrible.
That's like a happy meal compared to what I had before, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, it does seem like it's very much like overnight, right? It's like overnight, suddenly you're everywhere and everybody has an opinion about you.
Yeah.
And there's not really, I guess, a way to prepare for that. You kind of just there's no preparation.
Exactly. There's no preparation. There's nobody that I can really like relate to outside of the pods, female wise or male wise. There's nobody like, you know, from past seasons that I can like reach out to because I'm not known yet. So I'm going probably straight to their, you know, requested or something. So it's like none of us were prepared probably coming into this on how to deal with something like this.
Yeah. And that those episodes 1 through 4, you were so relatable to so many people. I think on the honeymoon, when you were really encouraging Chelsea, like, girl, what the fuck is that girl doing hanging all over your mane? That was very relatable to a lot of people. And it was like, thank God Jackie's here. Thank God Jackie said it. There was a lot of that in the very beginning. And then it switched.
Like a flip.
Right after that.
It was like night and day. And it was hard to process because it was, my work was like, how about you take every Friday off? That way you can just sit there, get ahead of it, watch it, and kind of just marinate it. So I was like, okay, cool. So being able to have those days off and sit there and kind of watch it while everyone's, you know, flooding my DMs, I'm glad I was like in my safe space because if I was at work, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. So everyone... Everyone that we've talked to says, you know, I didn't go on Love is Blind for TV. I was there for love. I want to talk about the allure of TV because Love is Blind by season 4, it's a global television phenomenon, right? The casts of seasons 1 and 3 have gone on to do some great things in their career. They've amassed a level of fame and fortune that is, I would suspect going in for season 4, it's something you're watching and like, oh, that's interesting. There has to be an allure to it, but no one really wants to talk about it. But I want to understand, what was your mind frame going into casting, and what was your, I guess, thought process going into being a part of this huge global television show?
Yeah. So when I first was reached out to, I was not really interested because I thought it was like fake. I didn't know if it was real. I didn't know what was going on. I honestly didn't watch the show beforehand. I did know about Lauren and Cameron because they were talked about so much from this experiment. And also the military girl, Barnett and Amber.
Oh, Amber, from season one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They were so talked about at that time. And I was kind of like, you know, and me never being like in a relationship and all of this type of stuff, I was scared. So I put it off for a while. And then my dad being sick, I kind of like sat down with him and I was like, look, mm-hmm. like I've never bought a man home. I got all my degrees. I did what I needed to do. Like mm-hmm. I have my own place. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else for me to do besides get married and start my own family. And I was like, this opportunity came, like, I don't know what I should do. And he was like, well, how would you know if you don't like take a chance? He's like, just take a chance, mm-hmm. try it. You know, it might, something might come from it. And mm-hmm. I did. I tried it. I gave it a shot. I went in there, did exactly what I needed to do. And I told them mm-hmm. from Jump Street in every one of my interviews, I don't care about fame after this. I want to go back to just my regular, degular life. Mm-hmm. Every single recording that I ever did, and they could pull it up. I was like, I have mm-hmm. no interest in anything after this. I mm-hmm. don't care about being a model. I don't care about being on TV again. I don't care about any of that. I'm just mm-hmm. here to see what this is like. If you're telling mm-hmm. me I can come out with a whole man, let's do this. mm-hmm. So that was my, and I stood by that every mm-hmm. single time. I never mm-hmm. switched up. I was always like, I don't care about anything else after this. Obviously there's alternative motives where you kind of want to just be like, okay, like if this comes to me, then I'm going to maximize on it. I'm not going to shy away from it. Mm-hmm. But my intentions of going mm-hmm. into it was not for me to be the next Kim K or for me to be the next global superstar. That wasn't on my mind. Cause for one, mm-hmm. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And two, mm-hmm. that's not everybody's like way. So I was like, you know, maybe this might not be for me, but I might find my person. Let me just mm-hmm. focus mm-hmm. on the main goal, and then whatever comes after, then we'll focus that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. So it's like, if I become the next Lauren and Cameron, I'm open, but exactly. I'm going in purely for the love. And
oh, for
we'll
sure.
just see from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like, how do you even like handle like fame? How do you even yeah. like handle all that? Like as kids, like we always want to talk about it. Like, oh, I want to be rich and famous and this and this. And then, like when the famous part like comes around or something, you're like,
oh shit. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like,
this,
oh,
this is
God.
What
exactly.
it means.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a very opinionated woman. You're a very expressive woman. That's the Jackie who showed up on camera. That's who showed up in the comment section. That's who's in front of us right now. Like, yep. you are very mm-hmm. consistent in that. You're yeah. also a Latina, and the stereotype is that you're fiery and emotional. How did you reconcile showing up as your authentic self, but also not wanting to feed into a stereotype or a caricature? Was that anything that was on your mind during or after filming?
It didn't hit me until after filming. It didn't hit me until after filming because I'm in the heat of the moment. I'm literally in the heat of the moment with Marshall and Josh and all these other cast members. I'm in these scenarios and these situations that I'm not even thinking about how I'm going to be portrayed afterwards. I'm just like, how are we in this state of mind right now? Mm-hmm. And when everything was done and wrapped, a couple months, you know, go by and you're kind of just like, ooh. I wonder how that is going to be portrayed.
A little hangover.
And exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. And with me, I was so not thinking about any of it at the time because I was like, everybody that know me knows I'm always going to rep where I'm from. I still rep where I'm from. I always am like, I'm from Tacoma. That's always going to be. I'm never not going to bow down to anybody. You talk crazy to me, I'm going to talk crazy right back. You're not. And I said, like, no one's better than me. And nobody thinks they're going to be above me. We're eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And I will always check you. I will always be, you know, who I am because it's hard to be fake. It's hard to be fake because once you're fake, you got to be through that the whole entire time. And I could not sit there and just be twiddly thumbs and be cool, calm, and collected. You know, when I have outside real things happening, it's just going to ooze out of me eventually. So I was like, let me just keep it real. Let me just be myself because eventually it's just going to come out. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I was just authentically me. I was just like, you know, that's one thing I don't regret is being myself.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You're being present. That's what they want you to do, right? Be present.
Exactly.
You can see those people who are like thinking or they see the cameras or like thinking too deep. They want you to be, you know, the best is to be present. But then it is kind of like the burden being a woman of color, being Latina, being a Black woman, the stereotypes that come with us that you might not be thinking about in the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That, and the heaviness too. The heaviness, yeah. The importantness, and like the times yeah. that we are in now, even just being a woman in general yeah. is kind of like mm-hmm. walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to be a misrepresentation. And that's, mm-hmm. I feel like yeah. that's exactly what the Latina community was so pissed off about, because they were like, you were the reason why we are being labeled spicy, fiery, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. misunderstood, all this type of stuff. And that was mm-hmm. never my intention. That's just mm-hmm. who I am personally. There's the next Latina that could be, yeah. you know, the most chill person. Mm-hmm. 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 She just wasn't on the show. I was on the show. So I was basically the one that was kind of like feeding the stereotype. And looking back, I'm like, fuck, I messed up, but that's just who I am.
That's who you are.
And, you know, yeah. that's when therapy comes in. You know, I'm still in therapy, still working on it because, you know, it's a lifelong lesson. Mm-hmm. It's lifelong mm-hmm. learning. I can't just sit here and say, oh, I'm healed in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Healing don't work like that. Healing takes a lifetime, and you got to give yourself grace. I've, you know, had to just really put myself in a situation to where I'm like, you need to take ownership of what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. It was mm-hmm. a very hard pill to swallow, but we're working through those. We're working through it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Yeah. And to work through those in public a year after you did them was mm-hmm. also something very intense. And you say too, that looking back, you had a little bit of like an emotional hangover over how you reacted to things. But I think when you have as much real life as you had going on, being fake is kind of an afterthought, I would say, and not a forethought, because you're dealing with so much real life stuff, as you said, and getting all that hate, and also being reactive, you have to rely on your friends and family, right? Earlier in the conversation, you said that you didn't really have that many people to turn to. You couldn't like slide in the DMs at all. And there's like, I don't know about you, and I don't know if you still have this, but there's like a safety, right? With the group chats that you have, whatever they are, whether it's your family group chats, whether it's your friends group chats, you feel like, oh, this is safe here. And you shared so many thoughts about Marshall in the moment in those group chats that were then exposed by your friends. How did that experience of having somebody leak the messages of something so sacred as the group chat impact your ability to trust and decide like boundaries with people? And are you working on that in therapy now?
Yeah. So I was so, there was, how can I turn this? In the heat of the moment, sharing my feelings in the group chat, I was just throwing up because I'm like, how can I sit here and voice this politically correct, but not politically correct? Because on camera, like, I don't want to just say anything just to say anything. And I'm very like secretive already with my family. I don't want to talk about my family. I don't want to talk about anything too heavy on camera. And so I'm throwing up in this group chat, like how I'm like feeling, what I'm seeing. And when all of that was leaked, I didn't feel any type of way. I was just thrown off because I was like, what is going on? I didn't even know the group chats were leaked until I had people like throwing stuff like, oh, sugar in his tank in my comments. And I was like, how would they know that saying? Unless, you know, let me do some digging. Mm-hmm. So I found out through, you know, some comments. Yeah. Oh, and so I ended up finding it. And I was like, oh, gotcha. So then I ended up, because at that time, I think the reason why she leaked those messages is because when we were filming at a restaurant, it was just me and Marshall, we were filming. She wanted to be filmed. And I was like, there's no reason for you to be involved. Like, it's just me and him. We're at a restaurant. There's no invitation. It's not like free for all. Everyone's going to come and film. And plus, like, there's no, you know. And I think she felt some type of way because that night she took a picture of where we, because I share my location with all of my friends. She was outside of the restaurant and she posted it on her story. Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Oh,
yeah, she showed up, but she didn't come inside. She just posted it. And then she was like, something's being filmed here. And so I didn't talk to her anymore after that because I was like, are you, are you my friend or are you just like being weird like that? Yeah. And then we just, we just stopped talking and I didn't hear from her. She had blocked me off everything. So I was kind of just like, okay, whatever. That's the end of her. And then that's when the messages leaked. And then I found myself unblocked and then I lit that ass up. And I was like, you ain't, trust me, everybody's group chats ain't politically correct. So I'm probably not the only one that's going to get heat for their group chat talk. But I told her, I was like, that's really crazy how you would stoop this low to like shake the room or shake the table or something like that. Mm-hmm. You did what you did. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. But you still can't tear this down. I'm still going to move and maneuver how I need to go. But that just showed me what kind of person you were because you were upset.
And how did you know this person? Like,
So I had known this person through Facebook, the Facebook friend group or whatever. I had joined trying to sell some dental stuff, some dental hygiene instruments that I had gotten through school. And that's how we connected. And so you, had like gone out to drinks and stuff beforehand. And we kind of just, we just connected through just dental stuff. And I thought she was cool. I'm like, oh, the dental community is so small and I'm just trying to sell some instruments. So I was like, let me just go on Facebook friends and sell these. And this was, I've known her for probably 3 years prior to the show. Maybe 2-3 years prior. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Wow. That's so how that is crazy.
it was crazy. And you know what's crazier? She tried to deny it, but I'm like, girl, there was a whole screen recording. Like, it's on your phone of you scrolling and trying to do all that. And I'm like, it's at this point, like, let's just wrap it up. Like, you don't even have to explain yourself. I already caught you.
Yeah.
I said I'm sorry's and my apologies to Marshall.
Yeah.
You know. Me and him were cool about it. We locked over. Don't even matter. You were being messy. Congratulations. You got your little fame now. Now skedaddle. And that's how she was.
Sheesh. Did having that situation, having your private messages shared, did that impact your relationships with your friends at all? Just like your ability to trust your friends, particularly now that you're a public figure and anything connected now to you can get them a little bit of clout. Like, did that make you think about?
I would definitely say that the public I don't even like to say public figure because I just feel like I'm just like regular still type of person. I just feel like I have to be more mindful. But I'm still cool with the core four, like me, Monica, Kendra, Keisha, that's my group chat. Besides that, I'm not out here being on because, you know, I don't want to be too federal nowadays. Got to be careful what you say. And I know those girls ain't going to be leaking nothing. So I'm like, let's just all keep it in here. And if I need to throw up about something, I'm going to throw it up in here. And it's just going to be safe. So, but it hasn't like deterred me or anything because I'm still going to be talking what I want to talk about regardless. It's just I have to be mindful of who I
say it to
and how I say it because those messages were I'm not gonna lie were wild. I was in there talking crazy, like they were kind of disrespectful, but and I'm in the heat of the moment. I'm not thinking that I'm just throwing it up. I have to work on, hey, like, you have to be aware of your surroundings because your surroundings are switched up now. So I got to be more mindful about that for sure.
Yeah. And be careful who you meet on Facebook.
I don't even be doing that no more. That was a one time and that was like a one and done thing. One I was just trying to sell some stuff. And she was just like, and like, I'm like, okay. Like, I didn't know that was her intent at all because I'm like, I've known you for so long beforehand. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, girl, I don't need you right now. Like, it's just me and him. Like, there's nobody else, you know?
Right.
You get upset and you talk about, oh, like, you trying to take off on us and all this type of stuff and leave us behind. I'm like, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm coming right back.
Behind? Oh, that's
I'm
crazy.
I'm like, where am I going? Like, I'm still coming back. I'm still
where
coming
am I
behind.
Going? Yeah.
I'm still a dental hygienist. I'm still here.
I'm like, girl, I'm not going nowhere. I'm just coming back when I'm in.
Calm down. That is.
She really wanted to see your downfall really badly. Really,
and,
badly.
And to be honest, I would say that she kind of got a little bit of that downfall for sure. Because I feel like with those messages, it kind of did deflate me for sure. I mean, the way way that my messages were, the way that I wasn't explaining nothing on TV was just kind of like a mixture and concoction of everything. So that for sure threw a wrench in there.
I think where people, as you said, there was a lot going on, what was on TV, then out in the real world, the text message scandals, like so much at once. I think where people really found empathy for you was learning after the fact what was really going on with your personal life. You shared, you talked earlier already about your dad was battling cancer. You were his caregiver. Yeah. You were providing a lot of financial support. Your brother had recently been released from prison, also needed your support. How's your family? How's everybody doing today?
Yeah, so my father has passed on. It's going to be a year on May 21st. It's going to be a year. I actually found my father deceased. I will never forget. I came home for the weekend, and I usually, when I come home on Fridays, he come downstairs. He goes, "Hey, baby." That was always his thing. I'm like, "Hey, daddy, let me say hi," whatever. But I didn't see him Friday night because I came home kind of around like midnight. So then Saturday comes around, I didn't see him. And I'm like, okay. He has like a fridge and some snacks in there. So it's not unusual for me not to see my dad.
Okay.
So Saturday night comes around and my mom's like, "Hey, like there's some laundry. Like, can you take it upstairs?" So I say, "Yeah, I'll take it upstairs." So I go and I go upstairs and I try and unlock the door and it's locked. And I'm like, there's no locked doors in the house. That's weird. So we have like spare keys, like in the bathtub or not the bathtub, like the bathrooms and stuff like that. So I just go grab a spare key and I open the door. And as soon as you walk in, it's like his bed. And then you turn to the side and it's the master bathroom and stuff. So I don't see my daddy on the bed or nothing. And I turn and I'm like, "Hey, daddy, I don't know if you're in the shower or not," but, and then I see him and I just knew because his hands were black. His eyes were glazed over.
Whoa. Oh my God.
And I just fell to the floor. And I just remember just. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just remember feeling like, fuck. That's crazy. And I felt so guilty because. They came. My very first call was to Josh. I was like, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, my daddy, I'm trying to move him. My daddy's stiff." I'm like, "I don't know what to do." And he's just like, "Baby, just call somebody. Just call the ambulance." So I did. And, you know, they come and they do their thing. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, mind you, this is when we're filming after the altar, too.
God.
And I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, this could not have been at the worst time. And I felt so guilty. Like, I couldn't just like go back in time and say, "Hey, like, my daddy, you know, he's sick. He's this, you know, he's that. Like, this is the reason why I'm going through this, because I wanted to protect his privacy. I want to protect his space. I want to protect everything of that." And the last thing I wanted to do was put that out online and, you know, Lord forbid something like how I was going through. Oh, he deserved to die. I didn't want to see that. Because if I would have saw that, that would have sent me, over for sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that was for sure very, very hard. Very hard.
Oh my God. And
it was my daddy and then it was the breakup and then it was after the altar. So it was literally like boom, boom, boom within like a matter of 3-4 weeks of each other. Wow. Yeah. That just hit me.
Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. You know, that was one of our biggest questions was what is, you know, how's her family? How is she doing?
And we're healing. We're still healing. Mm-hmm. I got my daddy in the backyard. I cremated daddy. Mm-hmm. We put him in the garden. His work, they've been, like, my dad was a glassmaker. He did all of Chateau Ste. Michelle, the Hennessy Ciroc bottles. My dad was just a glassmaker. They did like a little memorial for him at like his work, like in front of his locker and stuff. And a lot of people, you know, they came to the house and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there and I was just like in shock because I'm like, I have to film in the next like 2 days.
Gotta work.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I can't even, and then I'm grieving my daddy and then I'm about to grieve an end of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like,
what was that timeline? So your father passed, and then Josh and then broke up. How long after that?
I want to say about a couple days later, because he had came down from my daddy. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And then
he had
filming
came down
was
for my daddy's. he came down for my daddy's. I don't want to say like a wake or memorial. It was kind of just like people get together and
service.
You know, just talk. Yeah like a service just at the house. And, you know, he met like my uncles and like my brother and stuff. And then I want to say probably when he had left, cause he only stayed for 3-4 days. He didn't stay long. He only stayed for 3-4 days. And then the show had aired and then he was like, yeah, you're mental. And then you not listening to me about not talking to Monica. I can't be with you.
What?
And I was like, oh, gotcha.
Wow. Oh my God.
And honestly, that was the hardest time because I was so in love with Josh. Like that was probably.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That hurt. Like seeing my daddy hurt, but I'm like, damn, you just double hurting me now. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, right? There's no care. It's so careless.
Yeah.
And self-centered, too. Mm-hmm. I can't be with you because you look away on television. It's so self-centered to do. Mm.
Thank you for sharing about your family and just kind of, like, the whole timeline of how everything was going down between you and Josh and filming. Seems like everything coincided at the same time, which, as we said before, you can't really prepare for. And, of course, you know, people... you know, critics will say, you know, why go on TV when you have so much going on in your life?
Yeah. And, I'll even kick off the answer.
Yeah. Which I think is just bogus because I feel like you can't stop living your life. Even when someone is sick, even when you're a caregiver, you have to live your life. And I feel like that's where you grow resentful. That's where you, kind of give up on yourself. And that's
and my daddy
gave
me his blessing.
Your life has to go on.
Yeah, and before
he told you to go.
Yeah, my daddy, and like I never brought a boy home, so I didn't know if my dad was like, is my daughter, you know, like weird, you know, because I'm like, you know, like I'm not bringing nobody home, so he's probably like, please do, because he's probably, and I said, and I'm trying to be like, maybe he knew that he didn't have a lot of time left, so maybe he was probably like, if this is an opportunity for me to see something, at least her be with somebody. But I did not go on that show without my daddy's blessing, without my mom's blessing. I would not have done it. My dad was like, girl, if you pass up this opportunity, then that's on you. Don't put this on me. And I was like, okay, I can do that. I felt guilty, obviously being, you know, doing it, but you know, my daddy was like, don't worry, I'm a grown man, I'm good. But, you know, that's still my daddy.
Of course. Looking back, do you think there's any way that you could have prepared yourself for a process like this? Because you, and I would say a lot of your contestants feel, or a lot of your colleagues feel, or look very unprepared emotionally for the toll that they're about to be hit with. You know, we just watched season 6. I thought very similarly of Chelsea. I feel like there's so much Chelsea should have done off camera, maybe to handle before walking into a process like this. But being that you were in it, and particularly someone who was dealing with a lot of personal stuff, looking back, could you have prepared yourself any way different?
There's no way to prepare. There's absolutely, unless you are like already in the spotlight or filming day to day, even filming day to day. If you are not like a reporter or a journalist, somebody who's in broadcasting or TV, there's no way for you to prepare for this. I know that there's a couple people like on the show previously who were in mental health, and they're like, we didn't even know how to prepare for it. So it's like, we're going into this and we're like, it can go both ways. And you just have to remember to just be yourself. That's how it just comes down to. As long as you can be yourself, you got to just take it how it comes. And it sucks the way that Chelsea was being dragged for this Megan Fox comment, because that is so unfair. That is so unfair for them to hang her out like that, knowing that that is a question. Knowing that that is a question in our thing, like, hey, who, because we can't see each other. So who's the next person that you can tell me? And like I said before, I've had people say, oh, like Josh told me, oh, I look like Miguel. Or Marshall told me that he looked like Will Smith. Me, I've been told that I look like Selena Quintanilla. We said those things. Oh, yeah.
That I see.
I mean, do I think I personally do? No, no one looks better than her herself, RIP to her. But that's what I said in the pods. And I bet you if that would have been played, I...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Would have been dragged. We all would have been dragged. But
yeah.
That, it was just so hard to see her go through that, because I'm like, fuck. That is a question, and there's no context back. It's just, you know, a question. Yeah, like, right. Who do you look like? And she just said, some people say I look like Megan.
So you're saying this is a question. This is a question you said that production gives to you guys, or what is that?
Yeah. So we have like a note. You see the notebooks that we be writing in. In those notebooks are kind of like question igniters. I call them, like, what celebrity do you look like? What's your favorite type of food? What do you do in the first morning? What's your routine? Do you like your family? Okay. Those type of questions, if you're just like not a talker, or like those type of people who just can't really seem to kick off a conversation. There's stuff like that in there to kind of be like, hey, let's get this conversation rolling. So that's probably one of the questions that they were talking about. And they probably just like, oh, let me go ahead and take this. So, because that happened with Irina and Zach. Irina and Zach, like, she said, well, I've been to that. I look like Megan Fox. And I was like, okay.
That's a lie. Okay.
Leave Megan Fox alone, everybody. Okay, leave that woman alone.
I am Megan Fox. Okay.
Yeah, at this point. Me Megan too,
Fox,
girl. Yeah.
Right, I am Megan Fox.
I'm Megan Fox. It's me. Hello, yes. It's me. I went to bat for her in these comments. That's why I went against Jesse Yuhu. That's why I went against all these people, because I'm like, you cannot sit here and just drag us, because there's things in the storyline that everybody don't know.
And there's context that isn't shared.
And there's, you know, Shane went to war behind me. Shayna did, like, you know, Nick Thompson, Danielle, like, they were supportive. Like, Shake reached out to me, like, especially Shane. Like, I know that Shane, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, this, and this. But he held it down. He was like, look, Jackie, you got to do like this. And especially Shake, like, when I started seeing a lot of this stuff, he was like, no, you gotta maneuver it. You gotta do it like this. Like, it's good. I got your back. Give me a call before you do any more Twitter fingers. Cause that's when I was getting hot on my Twitter fingers. And he was like, before
you was hot on Twitter.
I was like, let me tell you something. I can give it, I can dish it. And he was like, you can't He was like, wait,
you cannot.
And like, I had a lot of those people like from past seasons help me. And I just felt like, you know, if I could just say one thing, let me come for Chelsea and just say, look, that's a question. And she handled it gracefully.
Yeah,
she
that's a question so they put well. In there. She did. Yeah.
She handled it so well. Me, I would have licked everybody's ass up. I'd have been like, who? Oh, okay. Line
we
up.
Know.
Oh, my God.
She handled it gracefully.
Yeah, she handled it really well. And now she has a beauty campaign now.
It's her
and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Are sponsored by Elf.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
I love it.
Commercial. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it
too.
I told her.
Yeah. I hope she does something like, with Megan. I hope she does a Megan Fox commercial.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope all the Megans get together. All the triplets. I hope they all get together and do something. And they ask better call me too. They'll be like, Jackie, we need you. I'm going to be like, I'll be right there. I will be right there.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. That is funny. Yeah. So Love is Blind is a show that ends in marriage, right? You know, we watched this season, Clay coming into the process seemed very obvious that he was not prepared to be a husband. I would say similar for Chelsea. Yeah. I would say similar for Jerame, probably a lot of others, even though
that's
we know it's a marriage show, ends in marriage.
Okay.
That's what we say. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's Jeremy.
I was like, a Jerome, I like that.
Put a little spice on it. So Chelsea, Jerame, you know, many others come into the process. They know it's a marriage show, but are very clearly not exactly ready for marriage.
Yes.
Were you honestly thinking about marriage being a real outcome for you? Or did you kind of like, all right, let's date and see what happens?
So I saw the real marriage with Josh. I would have married Josh. If I would have picked Josh, I would have married Josh for sure. And I know that sounds nutty. Wow. Everyone's probably throwing up and probably like, girl, what the hell? But I would have for sure married Josh. I would have. I would. I would have walked my ass down the aisle and said, yeah.
What was it about Josh? Because you seem very, at the reunion, after when you guys were breaking up in interviews, like that was your love. Like you really love that dude.
I did.
What was it about Josh that we did not see?
He was so unserious. He was just like me. He's just like, but I'm serious. So that was kind of not, how can I say it? He could look at the stuff that I would get and be like, that's funny. And I'm looking at him like, no, that's not funny. That shit is crazy that they're talking to me like this. And he's just like, don't worry about it. They're just jealous. They're just, don't worry about it. Like, they just want to be in our shoes. Like, he had a way of, like, trying to turn a bad situation into a good situation. That was one thing
reframing,
about Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he was very funny. He loved to make people laugh. Like, we, in a group, like, setting, like, we all were, like, hanging out in the group, like, me, Monica, Kendra, Keisha, like, my other friends were all linking up, going and having picnics together. We're going to Palm Springs together. Like, he was always just, like, the class clown. Like, he was just so funny, and everyone just liked being around him. And obviously, sometimes he can be a little much, but then there's me to kind of be like, babe, like, bring it down. We were like yin and yang, you know, and it worked so well. But I think what really got to him was the fact that I was so in my ways of like, I don't, when he said didn't listen, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And I think that was kind of just like, let me just lead sometimes. And I still am working with that. Even in mm-hmm. my new relationship now with my new partner, I'm trying to just like let him lead. But it's so hard because I'm like, I've been by myself. I don't want to steer yeah. nowhere, you know, off a path that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to yeah. let a man lead. And I think he mm-hmm. felt like he couldn't lead me, or I didn't listen, or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I would have been a Demas. I was already calling myself a Demas. I was like, I'm Jacqueline mm-hmm. Bonds, Demas. I didn't need nobody to sit here and tell me that I was a Demas. Wow. I didn't need a paper. I didn't need mm-hmm. a ring. I didn't need nothing because I just really enjoyed him. I really did love Josh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I did. I would have said yeah.
yeah, wow. yeah. That's really interesting because when we watched the show and when we spoke to Marshall, he talked about how you guys were opposites. You talked about in your confessionals how you and Marshall were opposite, and Josh yeah. was more of like that manly man that you were mostly attracted to. And from what you're mm-hmm. saying, it sounds like Josh wanted you to be an extreme version of like a soft feminine woman that probably, not that you don't have access to, but you probably just weren't comfortable doing it in the 4-week time frame that was given.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even Marshall said that he had a pattern of dating potential. And I think that you acknowledge that you had a pattern of dating like this manly man, kind of like toxic masculinity guy, and you both were trying to date someone new. Do you think that combination of like, I'm going to try something new. Do you think that is what really was the downfall of your relationship? Why it exploded the way that it did?
With me and Marshall?
With Marshall.
Yeah.
With Marshall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think... It's just when we came home from Mexico, I think he called it love bombing. I didn't feel love bombed. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, this isn't working. Like the vibe wasn't how I thought it was going to carry out into when we had gotten home. Because okay. the way that I thought Marshall was going to be, he was, but wasn't to the maximum that I wanted it to be, if that makes any sense.
How did you think he was going to be?
I wanted Marshall to be like, I'm the type where I want to fight all the time. Sometimes I just need somebody to just be like, look, you don't need to fight. Let me handle it. Go over there and just chill out.
Okay. Okay.
And mm-hmm. he would let me initiate. And I would go, and then he would step in instead of just kind of just going in and kind of just nipping it in the bud. And I kind of felt like,
okay,
maybe, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
sometimes you just want a partner just to be like, you know what, just go sit your ass down. Let me handle it, you know? And I just felt mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. with my father's situation, what was going on with, you know, everything at home, I felt like he couldn't step up to the plate like I needed him to in those mm-hmm. situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're saying you, you know, have a tendency to wanna, you know, we get into it and Marshall would engage with you in that when rather the person that you needed at that time is the one that would kind of yoke you up. Like, Jackie, shut up, sit down.
Yeah.
like,
yeah.
Stop with the foolishness. Like, we're
exactly.
not doing this.
Exactly. And like, I hate to call it toxic because I don't think that it's toxic. But
no.
then again, I'm still learning what is toxic and what's not toxic. See, to me, like when someone is like, hey, cut it out, I'm over here like, Am I being toxic right now? Like with my new partner now, like when he's like, you heard what I said, that's kind of like him saying like, stop.
Mm.
And I'm over here like, am I being toxic right now? Am I like not listening? Like I'm still learning how to maneuver and be a better partner because I felt like when I was with Marshall, I didn't know what was toxic And then him having a conversation with Brett about like smacking me around or whatever it was. I was like, ain't nobody smacking nobody around. You're tripping. That's what we not finna do. That's what I've never once said smack me around. That's one thing I want to clear that up right now. I'm not into smacking. Don't put your hands on me. We're good. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I could have been toxic. I probably was toxic. I just was not able to see the toxicity at the time because no one has ever corrected me about it.
Yeah, because I think what Marshall, how he was approaching is actually is a healthy way to approach somebody. He's trying to communicate, right? Like you're going through something, you know, chatting it through, and he's trying to do what the adult thing is to do, which is let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But what you're saying that you needed in that time was someone to be like, we're not going to talk about this. Let's not even engage. Let's, you know, push that to the side.
And we'll talk about it at a
later date. I don't know if I want to call that right. I don't know if I want to call that toxic necessarily, but it's not, it's maybe not.
Because if you keep going, it's very different to Marshall's
approach.
Yeah, because like if you keep going and you keep going, it's toxic.
Yeah.
But if you nip it in the bud, then you have the prevention of it being toxic. So that's why I was kind of just like, what is toxic? When I'm sitting there and he's like, she's being toxic, I'm like, okay, give me an example so I can work on that. And I think when looking back, I think it's my communication. And I'm in therapy doing that now because even with my new boyfriend, he's like, look, you suck at communicating. He's like, I go back to the pods, like the pod way. Like I'll go to the room and I'll sit there and I'm like trying to like talk loud. So he's like, what are you doing? Just come sit in front of me. And I'm like, no, I can't.
That sucked back into the pods.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Like, did you find it was easier to communicate then?
Oh, yeah.
When you were in the pod versus that?
Even when me and Josh would, you know, he would go and we would kind of just, it was eerie though, because hearing Josh's voice, it was very like, you know, because, you know, it's Josh in the pods. But like with my new boyfriend, I'm talking, he's like, what are you doing? Come sit in front of me and have this conversation. Yeah. Don't revert back to the pods. Like, come on. And I'm like, no, wait, I'm not there yet. And he's like, the pods is not a thing out here in these streets.
It's not a thing. Band-aid. No.
Come sit your big ass in front of me and have a conversation. Like,
oh,
no,
my God.
So
what is it about the face-to-face of conversation that gets you stumped, that gets you
to be honest, I feel like, okay, so growing up, I will say this. Growing up, if I were to be like to a boy, like, I like you, they'd be like, okay. Because I was a tomboy. Like, I played volleyball. I was with the jocks. Like, I
had
a volleyball scholarship. So, like, they saw me as one of, like, the athletes. And, like, I had a crush on, like, this guy in high school. And I just would be like, oh, I like him. And he'd be like, okay. And I'm like, gotcha.
Okay. So you faced a lot of rejection.
I don't want to feel, because once I start feeling that, that's when I'm like, yeah, no. So even that I know that he's not rejecting me and he's accepting everything of me and more.
Right.
I'm still feeling like, ooh, if I say this, he's going to be like, yeah, Jack, you gotta go. And I don't want to experience that. But I'm a grown woman and I have to experience that, but I try to avoid that because I'm like, I don't want to put myself in a situation to where I'm sad and I'm going through it, you know? So I kind of like shy away from those conversations. That's why I want,
and I'm
working in therapy with this too. Like, instead of having him initiate it, have my ass initiate it every once in a while and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Instead of just waiting
in a healthy until
exactly, because then that goes to toxic. And I feel like with Marshall, I knew that if I would have communicated more, maybe he would have understood where we were. And we had daily check-ins, but I feel like he would be like, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm solid. Because I was solid. And I was still solid until I was like, ooh, the foundation is, you know, starting to be a little quaky. but I wasn't communicating that because I want him to tell me that.
So that's when I'm in therapy now, trying to be like, hey,
if you see something, say something. Don't be one of those girls that just stay silent and be in a, you know, relationship to where you're not both happy, you know, speak. So that's why I'm trying. I'm trying to just grow. Try not to have like that, those, like, I'm a baby, I'm a baba. Like, no, like, come on, let's use our big girl, you know, type thing. It's, it's a lesson, child. Right. It is a battle because I can sit here and, and just not speak. And you can throw up all your feelings on me. And that's what Marshall was doing. He would throw up all his feelings on me. And I'm just like, I fuck with you tough. And he's like, anything else? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Josh. Like, and me and, but with me and Josh, like, we rarely talked about it. Me and Marshall, we talked about feelings and, like, that's fine. But I don't want it all the time. Reassurance is a lot. With Josh, he'd be like, he didn't need to tell me that he loved me. Or because he would go, you know, it's so little things. Maybe like buy me some flowers or, you know, bring me a teddy bear or like, you know, do little things to kind of just be like, hey, like I did a little gesture. But I knew that he cared about me, if that made sense. And I knew that Marshall cared about me too, but it was just the communication was too much. The reassurance was too much. Like, I can't sit here and talk about feelings all the time, baby. We can show it.
Yeah, it sounds like that was very new for you, and so it was uncomfortable. It was also being done on TV as well. It also sounds like in the 2 years you've done a lot more work on your communications, but at the time it was like almost watching somebody start from ground zero on understanding how to communicate healthily.
For sure, and even times I'm reverting back to ground zero with my with my new partner. I'm just sitting here and he's just like, come on, you were just doing so good yesterday. And I'm just like, ah, because I'm in like that trying to break that thing, and it's hard.
Because healing's not linear, like you said in the very beginning of the episode.
Not. It's a forever life lesson. And I'm just like, girl, give yourself some grace, but don't give yourself too much, because that's when you start slacking. And that's when the other person doesn't start to feel appreciated. And that's when the shit starts to break down and you're not happy. And I don't want that. I don't want that anymore, because I know I have a good man now, and I want to make sure that he is in my corner for a very long time. And I have to step up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's, you know, obviously a partnership is, you know, 50-50, it's equal, you have to show up as well. And it sounds like when you were, you know, starting your relationship with Marshall, you had expectations of him as a man to, as you say, lead and, you know, I need you to put me in my place and things like that, which very much equates to a form of masculinity that, as we said before, the terms like manly man, or I think you said at one point to Marshall, like, I need you to boss up. Like, these were expectations you had of him to kind of like put you in a place. Any diversion from that classic view of masculinity, the boss up, the aggressive, you know, manly man type, you, along with many other men and women, you know, you at the time view that man as effeminate, or start to question their sexuality, or he's not manly enough, or, you know, whatnot. Where did that way of thinking come from, and how do you view that type of man today?
Yeah, so I grew up with my dad, like, being the head of the household, doing what he needed. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad, he didn't talk about feelings or nothing like that. He was just a man. He's like, do what I need to do, bring home the money, make sure my wife is happy, make sure my daughter is happy. I grew up in a very, like, traditional home. Yeah, but it wasn't traditional, if that makes sense, because my parents were together for 25 years prior to them being married. They got married when I was 17. So, yeah, day I just came home, and my dad looked at my mom and was like, you want to get married? And she was like, sure. And I'm like, okay. And then they just went down to the courthouse. Yeah, we went to the courthouse and I was a witness. And
Oh, nice.
I wasn't old enough to be the witness, but my aunt at the time was Amara Lakewood. So she was like, just sign. So I ended up just signing.
Okay.
And that was, you know, so technically my parents only been married like 10, 11 years, but together.
Wait, I'm sorry. For 30 Lakewood some Church?
Years. No, Lakewood, the city of Lakewood in Washington.
I was like, Lakewood. Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, no. That's Joel Osteen's church. Lakewood
Church. No, no, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, Texas. I was like, oh, Joel Osteen. No, Lakewood. Tacoma here. Yeah, the city.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So seeing Marshall, it was because the way he talked about it was him growing up, like all his family was outside. He's like, I'm in the house cooking. And bacon and learning how to do home ec. And I'm like, that's new because my daddy wasn't like that. My daddy was outside, like, you know, playing basketball or doing like yard work.
Even
or
his job.
Like yeah, yeah. Like he was out there doing that. I've never heard nobody being inside cooking, which he's one hell of a cook. I mean, that's great, but I didn't grow up like that. So I was like, okay. And it was, I don't want to say it was feminine. It was kind of just like, I've never had that because Josh didn't cook. Me and him don't cook. Like, we just did air fryer or some stuff like that. Like, Marshall's like a cook. And it was kind of like, okay, like, that's cool.
But at the time, did you see it as feminine, though? Which is okay. But at the time, you saw him cooking, you were like.
No, like. That cooking part, no. But growing up, the way he was telling me, like, I was in the house, like, cooking and baking and learning how to do all that.
I see.
That's where I was like, okay. And then him saying, like, him struggling with math and him breaking down and having, like, those emotions.
You cry.
Yeah, like, I wasn't raised like that. You know, the way my dad was raised, like he was being chased by the KKK. Like that's how my dad was raised. Even though it's different, you know, eras, it was the way it was something that I never heard before. So I was like, let me give that a chance. And it really wasn't my steez. And I hate that a lot of people were faulting me for that because I'm like, why do I want to stay with someone that I know probably aren't gonna. I don't want to drag him to the altar. Put on this wedding dress and straight up say no. What kind of person would I be? And it sucked because I tried to give it a chance. I talked to my daddy about it. I was like, Dad, like, looking back after the experience, I was like, I don't know what I would have done. Even looking back, I was like, maybe if I would have just like stuck it out with Josh. And he was like, well, what if you wouldn't have liked Josh? You probably would have ended up with Marshall. He's like, you just wouldn't have known, you know?
As you said, Marshall was not your steez. That might be for somebody else. It maybe was uncomfortable for you because that was your first time being with a man like that or even recognizing a man like that. But you also know yourself better. So people can say whatever they want. But
yeah, and he's a great, loving guy. Like, Marshall's a good dude. Marshall's a good dude. Like, he's never, you know, did nothing crazy, nothing wrong. I'm not mad at Marshall. Me and Marshall have no beef. We don't talk. I'm just mad at the storyline and how they portrayed me. That's my issue. I don't have no beef with Marshall. Me and Marshall didn't work out. After the breakup, it wasn't even like how it was. To that extent, it was kind of just like, all right, Jack, take it easy. Hope you good. And I just basically was like, hope you good too.
And watching the show back and seeing how you were edited and spliced together and how dramatic they made it, even during after the altar, they made it dramatic.
Yeah.
When you're in the comments, when you're on Twitter, when you're responding, is that like an all... you're just on defense mode and like an ego mode. Like you're just willing to just put your ego out there and be like, absolutely not. This is me and I'm going to come after you. Or was it is it really that you're putting out all Jackie, all like your full vulnerable self? Because I think a lot of people put up kind of a facade, and that's what protects them. And that's what helps them sleep at night, is that you aren't getting the all of me. Did we get all of Jackie all the time, even in the comments and stuff?
You get me all the time. I always was like, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. I am always ready. I don't care for what situation it is. I am always going to be ready. I'm ready for disrespect because I'm quick-witted. You sit here and you say, hey, X, Y, and Z. Oh, I'm going to say A, B, C. Because you're not... And that's something I'm working in therapy, because I feel like I don't want people to win over me. And I feel like when they think like, oh, I got her on this.
Like, I was about to say, I was like, Jackie, we gotta come a little bit.
I don't want nobody to win over me. I'm like, you're not going to get the last word. I'm going to get the last word.
Okay, so... You've mentioned him several times. You have a new partner, new boyfriend. Can you tell us who this man is, how you met him? Particularly meeting him after Love is Blind and becoming a recognizable figure. How did you find this person and how?
So his name is Greg. He's about the finest man. I've actually known him before. I met him in 2021. I met him before Love is Blind. And he was fresh out of like this relationship, and I was kind of just like, you know, there to be there. So we were kind of like trying to figure things out, but me being like one of those girls where I like trying to tell my friend and she tells another friend, and then it just kind of was like, messy. We ended up stopped talking. I got on the show. And then he ended up moving to San Diego because he was playing for the NFL at the time. So he was playing for the Chargers or whatever the team is called. And then
I was like, the who?
I think the Chargers of San Diego, right?
Right. And then I was doing a Q&A and he had sent some eyes, and I was like, I don't give second chances to people who played me in the past. And he was like, no, it was a miscommunication. Like, we good. And then, we ended up having, like, a full-on, like, FaceTime conversation and kind of, like, talking things, kind of just being like, hey, like, this is what happened. And then we just reconnected back before Thanksgiving, and it's been my baby ever since.
Wow. Okay. Oh, that's nice. Wrap it up right for the holidays. Right. I like that, Jackie.
I know.
That's great.
He came up here. He was moving back up here. And he was just like, let's just see. So I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. He's a good man. Very good. He's older. Good. He's gone through all these relationships. He's not all these relationships. Not that he's a hoe or anything, but he's been, he's from around the way, so he knows how to like handle things. And he's just very like, very peaceful. He gives me a lot of grace. He's very much corrective in a soft sense, but he's also not afraid to reel it in when I need to be reeled in. But he's also very understanding, and he's very like soft. Like, I'll just be laying there, or we'll just be sitting watching TV, and he'll just like start rubbing my feet, or like he'll give me a massage, or like he'll just like DoorDash like food or something like that. It's just like the little things where I'm just like, oh, like that's so sweet. And a lot of people, when they see him, because he's gonna be shown soon, y'all. He's gonna be shown soon.
Okay. Oh, the hard launch.
Is coming. When y'all see him, y'all gonna be like, no, that's a boss up. That's a boss up for real, for real.
Oh, God.
That's a boss up for real, for real. And, like, even he had like, his Instagram and everything. And when we started following each other again, he started getting messages from, like, people about me. And he was kind of like...
God, the mess.
Yeah, he was like, so, what about these text messages? What about... You know, saying somebody's got, you know, a strong jaw or something, whatever was said on the reunion because he didn't watch any of it. He didn't care. He's like, girl, I don't give a damn about what's going on the show. He's like, me and you are locked in.
Now that you're in a new relationship with somebody who it seems like you're learning a lot in this relationship with him.
Yes.
You're in therapy. He's getting a therapized, or he's getting a Jackie who's in therapy. You know, Marshall and Josh, those relationships are behind you. Obviously, you learned a lot from them as well.
Yeah.
How does Jackie show up now in a relationship? What are the areas of growth that you would say you're most proud of?
I can most definitely say I listen more than I am reactive.
Okay.
That's
great.
In person, on the internet, I might still be, but
okay, we're working on it.
Yes. But if it's like me and Greg and we're sitting there and we're having like a disagreement or something, instead of me being like, and just talking and keep going, I have to sit and I have to hear his side because that's how relationships work. He has his master's in psychology. So he's like, look, I know when I need to tap my brakes, and he'll get up and leave, or he'll just be like, you know what? I ain't got time right now. This ain't it. And he'll remove himself from the situation. He'll take Juju and go for a walk. He'll go and do whatever he needs to do. And I'll sit there mad as hell, or I'll do whatever I need to do. But at least we give each other space. And then when we reconvene, it's like, okay, this is what you did. This is what made me mad. How can we fix it? And it's mostly me like listening to how I made him feel, because like I say, like Erica Mena did, you go low, I'm going to hell. So if he if he's like saying something and I hit below the belt, he'll be like, hey, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
You can't do that. We too grown for that. You are a grown ass woman for you to be over here doing this. This is not how we gonna work. And I'm not gonna tolerate it because I will leave. And then I think what we're going to do now is we're going to do couples therapy, because he's like, it's good. He's like, it's good to just have somebody, you know, be there and just be one of those where they have no idea what's going on in our relationship. So they have a fresh plate to just be like, okay, this is how we can internalize it. And this is how you guys should move about it. And I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. I like that.
And
you know, he's in therapy. We're both in therapy. I think it's such a taboo thing. And even before I got on the show, I was looking at therapy like, you know, like, because
Yes.
Because my dad was side-eyeing it. My mom was side-eyeing it. My mom had, my mom had her MSW, a master social worker, but she still was like, when it comes to mental health, like, it's such a taboo thing, because a lot of people don't have like the access, or they're embarrassed to go and say, hey, like, can I have a conversation? Can I throw up on you? Can I do something? You know, like, it's so hard to just say, hey, like, I'm feeling kind of can I throw up on you, to a complete stranger? But we have to normalize that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Use this mental health that we have, the resources, and just be like, hey, like, I'm not feeling good today. What can I do to make sure that my mental is better moving forward? And a lot, I feel like back in the day, because like my dad had a lot of demons with his cancer and stuff like that, fighting. He didn't speak to me, didn't speak to my mom, didn't speak to nobody about his internal feelings. And I felt like he was battling stuff by himself. And I, growing up and seeing that now, I don't ever want to be like that. And I don't want my person to be like that too. Throw up on me. If you feeling some type of way, say, baby, I don't like how I'm feeling today. Let me be a ear. Let me be something that way you don't feel like, damn, nobody care about me. Because I care. And that's what mental health is. Like, these people genuinely care, but it's like looked down upon. Like, I know, like, the older generation, like the 50s and 60s, you don't do that. You internalize, you're a man, you this, you that. And that's what I grew up with. I grew up with someone that was like, hey, put all that shit to the side. We got to get to work. Money has got to be made. And like, it's not always got to be like that. Like, men got feelings too. I have feelings too. Let's work through that, you know?
Well, Jackie, we'll end there because I feel like that's a great place to end. Yeah, a great message of just seek the mental health you need. Yes. I think you have always been very consistently you. People can take it or leave it, like it or love it, but you are consistently you, and I think you're a work in progress, and we all are, and I think that's okay. And I just want to thank you for being here and sharing with us your story.
Thank you for
and
having me again.
Opening up.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you for letting me kind of just throw up on you. I know I've been saying throw up a lot, but thank you for just letting me kind of just come on here and just be like, and just talk and just talk. I just have, you know, get everything out because why not? Mm-hmm. I got to. It's in my soul. It'd be heavy in my soul sometimes, and it's good to just let it out. And why not let it out to the best girls who be doing their best? My two girls here do it best. I'm gonna do it every single time. I appreciate
thank you so much
for having me. Like I said, I'm humbled. I'm honored. I'm so blessed to be here. I appreciate you women so much. And shout out to us. You. Ain't nobody better than us.
yes. Preach. Thank you. Where can people find you? Do you have any exciting things going on? Anything you want to share with people?
Yeah.
Share your socials? Anything?
Yeah. So you can follow me on my Instagram, Jacquelina Bonds, you know, my whole government. you can find me on TikTok, Jacquelina Baby. I just be in my funny little era. I'll be doing a lot of traveling. I'll be doing like some little meet and greets. I'm doing more podcasts. I got in contact with a couple other shows, you know, so you might be seeing me on your TV screens coming again. I'm going to be a little bit, you know, on my Scar era. I'm in my Scar era, y'all. I'm coming.
Oh, boy.
I'm coming. If I'm coming, I'm going to be the best one that you've seen. I'm going to be that.
Interesting.
I'm gonna be that polished one.
Okay. You said in your Scar era, is this a House of Villains
season 2?
not 2, because I think they already have that out there, and I didn't make
it. Oh, so it's already there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe season 3,
maybe.
House of Villains.
Well, you might.
Man.
If not there, you might see me, you know, somewhere else. But
traitors, who knows?
I am definitely in my Scar era. I'm in my villain era.
Interesting. Oh, wow. Okay, good for you, girl.
Get it in.
Exactly.
Because I'm like,
diving deep with it.
You want me to be Thanos? I'm gonna be Thanos for sure.
These rings.
And I kept the apartment too. I kept the rings and I kept the apartment. So I'm leaving. Like Denzel Washington said, I'm leaving here with something. I'm from around the way. I'm leaving here with something.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you for having me, my ladies. Thank you so much. Y'all have a good day. Course. Take it easy.
You too.
Bye, y'all.
You too.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.